Hello, everyone. Try it again. There we go. Well, it's good to be here. Boy, it's been a long, long time since I've had an opportunity and privilege to speak to you guys. I need to comment on Warren's introduction. You referred to old or long time friend. Why, he was correct on both accounts. computer people really get a kick out of this. You know, I think most of us that have the privilege of speaking pick away at it a little bit at a time, which I did all this past week. And then finally, about 7 o'clock last night, I got the point, I'm finished. It's all in the monitor. I backed off from the desk, turned, glanced back, and the monitor was blank. My son and I spent about an hour trying to fish it back, but we didn't know what to do, so I said not to worry. So I spent the evening hours knocking it out again. Got up this morning and finished it. Somebody doesn't like me. You're right. Again, did you feel a tremor? Your windows rattled or anything? You should have. So anyway, here I am. I've got a bunch of scrambled notes here. So anyway, just bear with me as we go through this. Now, I know there's been a lot of talk among the people that I know regarding the current state of affairs of our country and the economy. The direction that the current Washington administration is taking this country really is creating a great consternation and fear in the hearts of Americans everywhere. And the people in this country are getting very unsettled and fearing what will come next. It's like waiting for the next shoe to drop. You know, while listening to the news, really, it's who are we to believe? Each political party has its own agenda. And our keeping up on the daily news can have about the effect of listening to your fingernails go down a blackboard. And it raises undue concerns and it raises the stress levels. So folks, when we look at all this, we can't allow the national and world news to distract our focus on God. Just because society is fearful doesn't mean that we should be too. Because God is our refuge and our fortress. And in Psalms 62, verses 5 through 8, Psalm 62, verses 5 through 8, it tells us, "Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. In Him at all times, O people, pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge." And if I can have some water, please. There has never been a time in my life that I can recall the economy of this country being in such dire straits. And considering the massive spending spree that the White House is engaged in, and no one is telling us where these trillions of dollars are going. Everything's in turmoil, and you know, I don't know about you, but I look at it and I just have to shake my head in disbelief. It's hard to believe what's going on. Now, it was said of President Lincoln's Bible that if you were to turn to Psalms 34 and verse 4, you'd find a smudge on that page because he put his thumb on that verse so many times that it left a smudge. And the verse simply says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. And that is the verse for us today. A title to this message is Standing Firm in Troubled Times. I want to read first from Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 10, because these are wonderful words to meditate upon. Proverbs 3, let's see, where are we? My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablets of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and men. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Now, both political parties, well, at least in this one thing, they agreed that we're in a recession, and the dominant party has gone so far as saying that we're now coming out of this condition, this recession. However, if you look at the polls and the indicators that are out there, it'll show that we are slowly sliding into a depression and that conditions will worsen. Not a happy thought for the day, but it's a fact. No, when I was a boy living in Alaska, I remember the depression of the 30s because that was what people talked about all the time. It was in July of 1937, my father brought the family to Seattle while he had some business to take care of. And so we rented a house over on Mercer Street that overlooked Elliott Bay. And I can remember so many times the homeless men that came behind our house to rummage through the garbage cans for perhaps something to eat. And I remember my mom used to make sandwiches and put them on a plate out in the back porch for them. So as they came by. And I also remember the stories about the tragic and awful difficulties people had to endure. Hundreds of thousands of people living in Hoovervilles all across the United States. Will that happen now? I don't know. I pray not. But today, some of the more stable, intelligent, and conservative minds, the economists, do believe that we are headed into a depression. Now, with our understanding of prophecy, it shouldn't be a surprise, considering this country is becoming more and more anti-God, narcissistic, self-serving, and also when we've factor in the outrageous greed and thievery and total lack of consideration of people in high places. The CEOs of industry, of the insurance companies and mortgage companies that created and manipulated conditions that brought financial ruin not only to their companies, but to the countless thousands of people that had placed their trust in them. And so any companies that you might feel are secure today, you can believe that they are not. So what is the difference between a recession and a depression? Well, I can answer that for you. If your neighbor is going through difficult times, it's a recession. If you're going through difficult times, it's a depression. But regardless what it's called, what's happening in our country right now is something that will touch all of us to one degree or another. And so the bottom line is that it's likely to get worse before it gets better. And no one will be left out of feeling the effects of it. And I think all of you have probably heard that Washington State, for example, is more than $9 billion in debt. So you can count on tax increases and even new taxes placed on just about everything that can be taxed. They're even talking about a VAT tax, value-added tax. Now, during times like this, it's quite easy to allow our human nature to raise its head and to where we become angry or resentful, even bitter when we hear all these things that are happening. And we can get ourselves in real trouble when we realize that all that's taking place is caused by man's unquenching greed and excess being the root problem that got Wall Street and major corporations in trouble. And just the little children that are here today, the little babe in the back, will be paying for the policies that are being laid out today. Now, people will point at the Dow Jones, for example. Look at the Dow Jones, boy, the numbers are going up. Hey, things are looking real good. Well, it's a lot of smoke because in 1988, the administration at that time formed a group known as PPT, or the Plunge Protection Team. And that's a team that has the power to juggle stock market numbers at the behest of the White House to further whatever their agenda is at the moment. So you can't believe what you hear, and you can't even believe what you see. So my motto is, I think probably like some of yours, in God I trust, all others pay cash. So, you know, being human, we do have a natural curiosity. Seems that we always have to know what's going on in the world, what's going on, even when what we're looking at is really disturbs us. And I think most of us would agree that we would probably feel a whole lot better and probably sleep better if we didn't watch the news. But then again, well, you know, got to know what's going on. If you are into investing, there is only one investment that I'm aware of that always pays dividends. They'll never fail you, will never let you down, and you simply cannot lose. Those are your eternal investments. And that's the only place that you're going to find security. Those things that you do to serve your Heavenly Father, like having a repentant heart, being diligent in prayer and Bible study, of using your resources, that is tithes and offerings, to make a difference in the world, to support the work that we've been called to do. You see, those are the things that we not only don't lose, but they increase in value in time. It will bring us closer to our Father. But here's something else for us to consider as well. You know, bad news and hard times are not all totally bad. I think that, you know, we just don't think about that all that often, but I think you realize that that's a true statement. Because if we would take the time to look back over the course of our life, wasn't it during those difficult times that we grew spiritually the most? That we became just a little bit more mature? That we became just a little bit more loving and considerate and understanding of other people? That we began to make better choices? It was during those difficult times that we became stronger in the faith. And that's going to be true of us as we go forward and through the days that lie ahead. There was a famous author, you have all heard of him, Anonymous, had once said that comfort and prosperity has never enriched the world as much as adversity. And that's so true. This country has been just unbelievably blessed of God. This country has known immense power, prestige, prosperity, and wealth beyond description. And when you look at the supermarkets and the various department stores, the walls are bulging with stuff that we use to make our lives more comfortable. It is also well documented that the acquisition of material things, the so-called toys, that people feel that they must have to bring them fulfillment and happiness, has in actuality only served to complicate, you know, so many of the people's lives. And in fact, many of the toys that they have to play with are very expensive, and it shoots the family budget. There's turmoil in the home. And again, like I say, it can totally complicates a marriage, and it has even destroyed marriages. Health and prosperity has not benefited us as much as adversity. I think many of you have heard of this fellow George Barna. He's a prolific writer. He's a authority on church life. And he said that history shows that churches do better during difficult times. Okay. The attendance picks up and offerings increase. So many words, in other words, everything looks rosy. But then the Sunday that followed 9/11, the churches were full for about 2 or 3 weeks. Then it gradually petered back to what it was before. And it's really amazing how religious and spiritual people get when they get into difficult times or scary times. Since the beginning of this country to the present time, the history of this country has been nothing short of amazing. It's been a absolutely remarkable journey. This country, the Constitution and the Bill of Rights were formed on godly principles. Yet there are forces today that are intent on changing them. This past week, no, it wasn't this past week, whatever it was, a couple, two, 3 weeks ago, the National Day of Prayer, which is traditionally, there's a ceremony that's held in the White House annually. Well, this year it was done away with. You know, and looking at what's transpiring in this country, it would seem that God's patience has worn out, and he's allowing man to experience the full effect of their sinful ways. In Matthew 5, we're told that the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. So whatever is coming upon this land, we get to go along for the ride. And so how do we stand firm through all this? Well, one thing, we don't respond to problems like the world does, because that just opens you up for disappointment and even more negative stuff. And what we must do is to refocus on the greatness of God, refocus on his goodness and on his promises. Now, God knows what's going on in this world and in the United States, and he knows what's going on in each of our lives. And we can take comfort in the knowledge that he is in complete control, and that he has a plan for our life that the present day economy cannot change. So when we focus on the Father and Jesus Christ and his coming kingdom, it has a way of eclipsing the struggles and the problems of life, and even the worries that we may have of tomorrow. I hope that we all understand that our security is not in our job, our profession. We don't have to have God plus a job to be happy. Again, our security is not in our job. Our security is not in what we know or what we have. Our security is in God alone. It is God who will keep us steady and strong in the coming storms of life. He is our provider. He is our source. He is the one who says, I will take care of you. That's a promise. I will provide for you. And he says, I am the one who will meet those needs in your life. So the biggest mistake we can make in the days ahead is to react like the world. Now you might remember, here was it, a couple, two, 3 weeks ago, the video, telecast, whatever, Mr. Dick brought out very clearly in that message that our conduct and the example that we set in the society, in areas that we live and participate, carries a very powerful witness to this hurting world. You know, I just cannot, I don't know how those people out there are doing this. You know, with what's coming down, I mean, a lot of them have to be scared to death. You know, and here a while, I don't know, a couple months ago, whatever it was, they had what they call the tea parties. Well, they have another one set up, from what I understand, and it will take place on July 4th. And I can imagine the difference between the first one and the second one are going to be just absolutely incredible. I think that people are really having it right up to here with what's taking place. So it's, thank God for our calling, brethren. Wow. What an awesome, awesome blessing we have been given. So let's write this on our heart and have this in our mind. No matter what happens or comes my way, I will continue to trust the Lord and walk in his way. I will make sure that my way is God's way. And no matter what happens, it's the smartest thing that we can do. Now, as excuse me. It's not the facts that ultimately matter. It's the focus. I know the facts are pretty bad right now. And if that's your focus, I can just about guarantee you, you will be getting depressed. But if you're watching the evening news, which I urge you not to, but anyway, if you do this, discouragement can set in. But let's understand something here. The facts do not ultimately matter. It's our focus that matters. To keep our eyes locked onto the Father and Jesus Christ and to refuse to follow our feelings. Instead, choose to follow and trust and gain strength in God's Word, because we really do have a choice. We can trust in our job to provide, or we can trust in the government to provide, or we can trust in ourselves to provide, or we can trust in our Almighty God to provide. Which one is it going to be? Now, we're talking about how to stand firm in the face of adversity, the problems. So the next thing to do is to reevaluate our personal situation, because any time we experience difficulty or problems, well, it's there for a reason. Let's not waste the trial that we're going through, but to ask God to speak to our heart and to pray and ask God, is there anything I need to do differently? Really take stock of yourself. And find out if there's any changes that you need to make. And really seek and cry out to God for his help in being introspective. Because remember, anything that happens in our life that puts pressure on us, anything that causes us to struggle, God is using that. And he wants to use that to talk to us and to teach us. In all that happens to us in our lives, he is talking to us and he is teaching us, and he is wanting to transform us into the image of Jesus Christ. And we're familiar with Romans 8:28. It says, and we know that in all things God is working for our good. So what are we going to do to remain firm and fast in this way? One word, focus. And reevaluate our personal situation and then tighten our belts. And also to be prepared to make some sizable changes in our lifestyle. As the difficult times come upon us, one of our major concerns will be, how do I provide for my family? How do I provide the needs that really need to be met? Well, begin by asking God if there is something he wants to show us personally. Maybe some personal sin or character defects that he wants to reveal to us through his word. I think we all understand that God's inspired word is our best companion in tough times. This book will never let us down. In this book, we will find strength, confidence, the wherewithal to hang tough and move ahead. It will give us hope and insurance. And we will find an incredible love and acceptance that no matter what is happening in our lives, that God's love endures forever. His word does not change. It abides forever. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 24, tells us, all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And when times get tough, well, not in just tough times, but particularly, I guess, in tough times, we really need to take this book and get into the pages and meditate on what is here. This is a tremendous compass to our lives. Now, I was reading this morning in Psalms, and was reminded again how God speaks to us right where we are. It's amazing how that works. Now, it's not uncommon to think that what's happening to us is something unusual, but really, it's not unusual at all, because when we look into scriptures, we find that the people in the Bible went through the same kind of things that we're going through, and many times, even much worse. But let's meditate on God's word, because when we do, it prepares our minds and emotions to respond properly and not to react negatively. And it's a good thing that we be aware of our emotions and our feelings, because if we don't keep them in check, they can lead you astray. They can lead you off course. Now, we know, I believe, that we are living in very unsettled times, and nobody knows what's going to happen in the future, but when we get into God's word, we understand, and it gives us confidence that we understand that God is already in the future. And he knows how it's all going to turn out. He tells us that ultimately it's going to be good. Because, you see, this whole thing of life is just like a little blip on a radar screen. And I don't think it's an accident that there are 365 fear nots in God's word. I didn't believe it when I first heard it, but I went online and whoop, sure enough. So check it out. Fear not, that's one a day. In other words, we don't need to live in fear as long as we put our trust in God. Now, in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7, tells us, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Psalm 34 in verse 4, again, I sought the Lord and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. And Psalm 65 and verse 3 says, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. But there is another step we need to take if we want to stand firm and be strong in unstable times, and that is that we may need to reestablish our priorities. You know, that is a very good thing if we would take the time to check it out and make sure that our priorities are what they need to be. It is God first, family and friends second, and then our job. It's so easy to get those things mixed up, to let the demands of life just get us so busy, and it takes us away from God, from God having that first place in our life. But in tough times, we need God to be there. To be there and to know that we have this intimacy, this relationship with Him, so that we can go to Him and meditate on His Word and to have Him speak to our heart and to bring us inner peace. That there can be inner peace no matter what's happening in the world. Does it make what's going on less difficult? No. You have to excuse me while I dig. Part of what I'm telling you is already in your notes. But here it says that peace comes when we focus on those things that provide lasting value to our lives. The more we commit ourselves to knowing God's will through prayer and Bible study, the better prepared we will be to help ourselves and others on the spiritual journey that we are engaged in. It means that no matter what's happening, God gives us inner peace and promises that ultimate good will come from it, and that we can trust Him, even in those times when we don't understand. In troubled times, particularly, we need to find things that we can be grateful for. Each day, there is always something that we can find to be grateful for and that we can find joy in. And there is strength promised for any difficulty we may confront. In Psalm 118, it tells us, and there's a TV preacher that uses this one, "This is the day that the Lord has made, we will rejoice and be glad in it." And that is the truth, that if we would look at the blessings that we have, one, starting out, that we're born in this country where so far we have had freedoms to worship our God in peace. We can travel any place in this country without having to show some type of a identification card. We can be grateful for having one another, because in the days ahead, we will be looking to one another to get through this. But brethren, even when things don't work out like we would like them to work out, or perhaps how we had planned for things to work out, we can place complete trust in Him. Because in this path that we're on, this spiritual journey that we are taking, He can see around the next curve. He is in the future. And He knows what is happening, and he is in control. Even though you look at what's taking place there, you wonder, but he is. He is all that we have to make it in any environment, in any situation, or any calamity or tragedy. So even knowing what's happening in our country and what could happen in the future, our future is secured in his promises. And that's true. You know, like Warren said, an old and long time referring to me. Yeah, I've been a fixture in God's church for getting close to 50 years now. But it is as I travel this path and go through all the hoops and the trials and so forth that everybody else experiences, the older I get, the more that I know that his word is true, that whatever happens to me, I'm okay with it. Well, I think I had mentioned to, you know, right after my wife died, and I'd have to say that my attitude during the last month of her life, my attitude was not good. I was very angry and upset with God. It was only after she was gone for a while that I could see and feel his love for me. Younger people, I hope it doesn't take you as long as it did me to realize God's immense love for you. But he will take you through the hoops. You can count on that. But again, when we're working together, when we come together on the Sabbath and we not only shoot the breeze, but to be there to uplift and support one another, and particularly with the coming troubled times that there will be, some of you will be out of work, you're going to be behind a rock, hard place financially. Others of you are not feeling the squeeze now, right now, but it's possible that that may come in time, and I, for your sake, I hope not, but we don't know where this is leading. But say to yourself, in understanding that God is in control and that he allows things to happen in accordance to his will. And even though we have to go through troubled times and really get squeezed, the end result is always a good thing because it brings us closer together. It's very binding and unifying. And the end result is going to be good. And as I said a moment ago, our future is secured in his promises. And all I can say, what could be better than that? Now, having said all that, there's more to consider. While we place our trust in God and look to Him for guidance, direction, being seasoned travelers in this spiritual journey that we're on, you know, we look to God for the direction. He does that. Here's the roadmap, do this. But we have to do the legwork. And I've known people in the past that feel that once they've prayed about a given situation that they can sit on their haunches and that, you know, handle it. Well, it doesn't work that way.
And
so anyway, getting back to what I'm trying to get to you now is that we have our work to do to prepare for what's coming in the future. And a couple of months ago or so in Marysville, we had our Bible study, and we were talking about how to prepare economically for the whatever's coming. And also how to be, what it is to be a good steward of those blessings that God gives us. And Mr. Luker wanted me to provide you with some of the basic ways that we discussed about this. Now, regarding spiritual matters, my opinion is that God's people, that is the people in the churches of God, do phenomenal things. It's very inspiring to watch the changes that come about. But on the physical end of things, there are people who are terrible money managers. Money just kind of through their fingers. And some are even maxed out on credit cards. Now, just a minute. In the handout that you all got, let's see if I can find it here quickly. There is a sample budget. I know for a fact that there's a considerable, looking at the number of people that we have here, that there are a significant number of you people that don't have a budget. I am strongly urging you, and this is only a sample, but to know where your nickels are going. That is being a good steward. The fact that you may make more money than what you need for living expenses, that doesn't cut it. That isn't what God wants you to do. God wants you to like the unfaithful servant, you know, that we need to know. So anyway, this one here is one that I have used, my wife and I used it for, since 1953. The fact that she is no longer with me, I still use it. It's good to know where your money is going. And I won't belabor this point. I just hope that you would take a look at the suggestions that are in all these pages here, because there are some real good ones, and I know that once you look at it, I'm sure that you can add to it. Because I know that some of you are incredibly frugal. And so once we do this, you'll be amazed to find out where your money goes. I suggested to the Cedar Woolley congregation that, you know, if you want to find out, just take just 1 month. Everything that you spend, be it a latte or whatever, write it down, and take a look at it at the end of the month. You'll be shocked. Between my son and I, we have spent just about $150 a month on lattes and espresso and so forth. We don't do that anymore. We got one of these thermal cups that we take the coffee with us when we go. So anyway, it's when we pull together as a family, and particularly when we talk about money, that's a sensitive area for people. You bring it up and you can see some people are kind of stiff and get a little bristly. But, you know, what you do with your money is your business. It's between you and God. You know, I'm just up here beating on a drum. And, but one of the main sources of dissension in a home is money management. And when you have friction in the house, and because of that, you can also expect a change in the spiritual climate of that home. And those of you that have your financial house in order, it would be good that if you know of somebody that's in having troubles, to be, well, just look for a time when it's you can slide in there and make a suggestion. You know, tell them your story. This is what you do. You know, and see if they pick up on it. We have to have the humility to listen to somebody that has their finances in order. Okay. I'm scrambling through. I'm going to go home and shoot my computer. That thing. You know, one thing I did fail, I didn't use my hammer. I should have. Anyway, where am I? I just want to wind this up here now for you. Someplace. Well, we'll just wind it up. My notes are all over the place. But the fact is, brethren, that as we go into the days ahead, not really knowing what's going to take place, that we should feel within us a sense of calm. The times are going to be tough, you know, very difficult and so forth, but yet there is an inner calm that he will bless us with if we keep focused on him. And like Mr. Dick said, you know, our example to the people in the world, when they are out there going berserk, fearful, and whatever, and they look upon us, and we have peace. And we have there is such, can't even describe it. There is an inner peace that very difficult to describe, but it is just an immense blessing from God. I hope you all have that. And I hope you all pull together, because when we do, we're going to come out the other end of all this in a spiritual condition that we haven't even seen yet. We are family. And I'm looking forward to the future. Because all that we are going through right now is just bringing us a little bit closer to the return of Jesus Christ.